Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left his house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you have money in this life, you have pretty much everything, according to the world. If you have a wealthy bank account, if you have a stocked IRA, 401k, whatever it is, I don't know what all of these numbers and initials stand for, but if you have a lot of cabbage, a lot of dough, a lot of cash, you have power, you have influence, you have the ability to buy as many toys and stuff and everything else that you could possibly imagine. Money brings great power, it brings great influence over us. We often worry and get concerned about our finances, our money. Solomon, in our Old Testament reading today, says very clearly, that is a dangerous thing. "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money," he says, "nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes?" We've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes on our Tuesday evening class and also our Friday Penn Valley class. And Solomon was a great king who had seen and done it all and had it all. Land, power, wealth, influence, and money. And all throughout the book, it's even rather a depressing book, he says it's all vanity. It's all striving against the wind. It makes no difference. You cannot take this with you. No matter how hard you worked for it, no matter how much you scrumped and saved, no matter how much you put away in your piggy bank or under your mattress, you cannot take it with you. Naked you came into this world, and naked you will leave, with nothing in your pockets. Jesus himself says today that a rich man cannot enter the kingdom of God. Pretty much is the way he says it. It's next to impossible. Last week we heard, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. The great cost that Jesus tells the rich young ruler of what it will be for him to follow Christ. But all according to the law. All according to what the rich young ruler was obsessed with. And today to hear about the wealthy, those who are in power, those who have a lot of money, to hear that it is difficult for them to enter into the kingdom of God, it's the same message for us. Do not worry about your money. Do not make this money your God. Do not make it be the thing that you strive, that you struggle, that you worry about. And I know this is easier said than done, especially the way that our economy goes up and down and up and down. I know because many of you have talked with me about how your finances have come and they've gone with investments lost and gained and then lost again. But Jesus himself looks at us today as he does with his disciples, and he calls us children. Remember that. Remember that in this whole context of money, because if you think about it, if we were to sit down here today and we were to lay everybody's finances out, both the young and the old, who would be the poorest amongst us? The children. Probably my youngest daughter, who has no piggy bank, who has no money to her name. And yet, according to the kingdom of God, she has everything, just as do you and I. Jesus says today, "You children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And what's fascinating is the disciples themselves are astonished at this very message. Then who can be saved? Jesus, if you don't have money, if you don't have wealth, you don't have power, you don't have influence, you can't get ahead in life. And let's be honest, we have felt that way also inside the church as well. The church does not have money. If we Christians do not have money, we're not able to do things. We're not able to expand the kingdom of God, expand the ministry being done here or abroad. It seems like it is next to impossible to do anything as a church without money. Not only do we ourselves personally get involved and obsessed with money, but churches can as well. And that is why Jesus says, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Maybe you've seen a needlepoint of that passage. With man all things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. It's nice. It's flowery. It gives us that oomph that we need to get through the worries and the concerns of life. But we are no different than Peter in his response. Peter doesn't walk away and say, "Let's etch that on a stone or a manuscript someplace. What a beautiful saying." Peter turns right around and gets upset with our Lord. "See, we have left everything and followed you. We've left a lucrative fishing business. You called us on the shore of the sea. We dropped our nets, we left our family, our friends, we left our money, our business to follow you. And now you say that the wealthy can't enter the kingdom of God. Now you even say, in many regards, that we are the ones who are poor in all things in the world, that we have left everything for you, and that we have no power or influence in our own salvation." And Jesus says, "Yes, that's the way it is." The cost of discipleship is much. Confessing our obsessions with money or whatever else it is that we lust after in this life, confessing ourselves that we have fallen short of the glory of God, confessing that we cannot save ourselves apart from Christ, who has redeemed us by paying the ultimate price of himself on the cross. It's hard to let go of the money and the stuff and the things of this life, let alone to say that Christ is our only hope, the only hope of the world, as we just sang. But this is why he does it all for you, and he gives it all to you. We saw this happen today at the very beginning of our service with the baptism of Rhonda Smith. Many of you don't know her, and that's fine. Many of you don't know where she's come from, and that's fine. She doesn't know where you've come from, and she doesn't know you that well either. That will all happen in due time. We didn't ask Rhonda how much money she has. We're not going to ask Rhonda when she's going to sign up for volunteering and service in the congregation. We're not going to ask Rhonda, just as we don't ask over and over from you, how much you are going to do for the kingdom of God today, and how are you going to help Jesus save the world. We rejoice today that the Lord of hosts has torn open the heavens and has called yet another one out of this dark world and into his marvelous light, and that he has expanded this family of God here today. For the Lord of hosts has given new life, new birth to Rhonda. He has made her an heir of everlasting life, not with promises of gold and riches. Something far more costly is what he has given to her, his holy, innocent, precious blood, his life for her. He has forgiven her. He has given her the gift of the Holy Spirit. He has renewed her, and he has promised her that I will never leave you or forsake you. You are an heir of everlasting life, and you are my own dear child now. And the same has been said for all of you and for me. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time. We don't write Rhonda a big check today saying, welcome to the church. If we did, we'd probably have more people in here. We brought her to the font where simple water and the name of God was placed onto her, and she was given the grace and the gifts of God 100-fold in this time here and now. She now can look death in the face and say, you have no power, you have no victory over me, because I am a dear child of God. We welcome her as a new sister in Christ. She now has several new brothers and sisters here in the family of God. Yes, we do encounter persecutions. Yes, we do encounter heartache. Yes, we do encounter sorrow. We encounter anxiety and worry about money, about relationships, about all of the things in this life. And in many times, it seems like we are the last in society. But Jesus says, never mind that. You will always be first for me. For he is the one who became last for us and for our salvation. He became last by becoming one of us, by going to the cross, by taking on the sins, the shame, the worry, the anxieties of all of the world, and putting him to death, and rising again on the third day, victorious, to be the firstborn of all creation, to be the firstborn of the new creation, the new life that Rhonda has been given and that you have been given. He became last so that he may be first, the first to lead us into heaven, the first to proclaim in the midst of sin, in the midst of worry, in the midst of financial woes, in the midst of death, the first to proclaim to you and to me that we are heirs of everlasting life and that we are wealthier beyond anything found in this life. Because he has bought you just as he bought Rhonda. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, in order that you may be wholly his own and live under his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. for you, for Rhonda, and for those who are to come in the future. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.